This is a Collider.com audio interview.
All right.
Inge Sullivan from Austria. Playing the FBI agent who kills Dillinger didn't make you the hero, and you know that the audience roots for Johnny Depp. How did you feel about that?
I think that that's the truth of the time, you know. It was the Depression, you know. Dillinger was a folk hero to so many, and it's very easy to see why that was the case. And he was a very charming, charismatic man, you know. I think that probably he was great at marketing himself, you know. It's this kind of comparison with Robin Hood, I think, is a little misplaced, but certainly the fact that he wasn't taken from individuals and from the poor, and was taken from the fat cats who had taken everything from, you know, the common man, was something that everybody at that time wouldn't have been able to help but recognize. The public liked him, you know, and human nature, you know. You find it fascinating when people are happy to stand up and buck the system and apparently lead a very happy and full life, you know. And Dillinger, you know, seemed to live as though he knew his life was going to be cut short, and equally with purpose. He was somebody who was courted by the press, and he was incredibly popular in his day. You know, called the Clark Gable, the Bureau, and everything. And I think that ultimately he became very disillusioned with his mentor, J. Edgar Hoover, who he had started off idolizing and admired his brilliant vision. And he was a wonderful visionary, but we're seeing the early days. And in Hoover's jealous nature and in his desire for short-term success, requested actions out of Purvis that Purvis was very unhappy about, that went against his nature, that he found to be morally repugnant, and ultimately a compromise of Hoover's own values. And so he, absolutely, by the time Dillinger is taken down, there's no satisfaction on the part of Purvis. In fact, I think he would question, you know, who had lost more here. You know, and ultimately, you can see the facts. You know, he quit the Bureau within a year of taking Dillinger down.
Gentleman in the back there,
wait. Hi. I just wondering, how do you picture yourself in 10 years?
I have no idea.
Hello. Hi, Christian. The character you played, Melvin Purvis, is called Clark Gable of the FBI. Did it give you any kind of idea how you want to create the character, or how did you do it? How did you create the character?
There's just a wealth of information available about Purvis. Newspaper clippings, newsreel footage, books, a book written by Purvis himself, a book written by his son Alston, which I kept with me all the time, called The Vendetta, which was really fascinating. You know, I recognize, of course, I'm very much a supporting role in this movie, but I just couldn't help but become really fascinated with the character and became very affectionate, fond of him, and just wanted to know as much as I could. And it's all out there as well. You know, and he was somebody, he was unique. He did not fit the mold of the majority of the FBI agents of the day, you know, incredibly dapper and elegant, you know, like the ballet, like the opera, was equally incredibly capable with weapons, had grown up in the country, hunting, you know. He was an extraordinary man who really was brought low by his success.
Hi. You've acted in a lot of Hollywood movies nowadays, and how does it feel moving from the cult figure that you were in the past to the popular figure that you are now, subject to scrutiny?
I've never paid attention to what would you call it? You know, my reputation. I've never really been interested in looking at myself and that, and I make movies that I feel I would like to see, or that I would like to. Less that I want to see, more that just I feel like there's going to be something I'll find intriguing about the making of it, and that takes me to many places. So in no way does making a few large movies mean that that's what I always want to do. This job affords you the option of great variety, and I'd be a fool not to take advantage of that variety.
Steve, I wanted to know, Michael Mann shoots in HD, and I wanted to know what your thoughts are on the HD revolution that's going on versus film. And I also want to know, you're looking thin, you're looking like you're training. Is this all for Fighter?
Yes, it is for Fighter. And I loved HD. I'd never worked in HD before. It's something which I will kind of hint at in future projects, but it's very much obviously the director's decision, and the director's relationship with his DP is a very vital one on any movie set. So it's their decision, and I found just from my own point of view that there was such momentum, experimentation, and more similarity to life in being able to run that camera for 52 minutes straight without having to stop, instead of with film where you have to stop every 6 minutes and reload, I found that to be a wonderful new experience for me.
If I could just follow up with Fighter, when is that actually going? Is that going? What's the status of it?
I hope it is.
We just have heard that you're doing it, but I'm just curious when it might be.
We're going to start within a couple of weeks.
Cool. Thank you.
You work with the great filmmakers like Spielberg, Herzog, Malick, now Michael Mann. Can you compare them, their cinematic vision?
I don't like to.
Anyone you prefer?
It's exactly what I want to avoid.
And what do you think about Michael Mann?
He's fantastic. No, he truly is. He's one of the finest. He's one of the finest out there. I hope that I will suggesting my preferences through who I get to work with again.
And about Malick?
Equally. Fantastic director. Both of those experiences were certainly two of the most satisfying that I've ever had.
Marion just told us how much fun she has with going into deep emotions. Do you have fun with acting, or is it sometimes a hard job?
It's both, it's both. And it depends upon the day and how you're feeling that day. And it depends upon the people around you. And the relationships, working relationships of how much satisfaction you're actually getting from any portrayal. You never know. You never can tell. It doesn't matter how wonderful a sit-down meeting might be with somebody. You never know until you're working together just how much you are going to gel.
Gentleman in the green shirt.
Can you just talk a little bit about the sort of relationship you've developed with the city of Chicago after shooting there? Would you look forward to doing more of that?
Yeah, it's a wonderful city. It's such a dynamic city in terms of the duality that it has, that we can shoot Public Enemies there and we can shoot The Dark Knight there, And in the one, it looks like a, shiny steel and glass contemporary city, and in the other, 1930s, and it has all of those aspects to it. It's got such character.
Christian, do you consider movies to be a life-changing experience or just entertainment? How do you see the role of movies, and how do you?
Yeah, they're both. They're both of those, and they should be both, Clearly, it would be very pompous to suggest that some movies that are out there and that I've been involved with could ever be life-changing movies. some of them are pure entertainment, and they're wonderful for that, you know, and there's a great talent for that too. And then likewise, there are other movies which certainly do have life-changing consequences and stories, and can't help but be touched by very, very, very deeply. And they should be all of that, you know. Mm-hmm. They should never be just one thing.
But how do you try to fit in this? Do you see yourself as an entertainer or as a social modifier, or how do you?
I don't even begin to try and see what I am.
In Dark Knight, you had all the modern gadgets, but here you didn't have any. How was it like playing that agent without any?
Well, he had the modern gadgets of the day, but very late in the day, you know. Like I think we said, you know, they weren't even armed until very, very late in the day. There was no radios that they were given to contact. I mean, that scene in the Sheridan apartments where you see just ridiculous disadvantage that they're at, and having to run down the stairs to go communicate to somebody who then had to run down the street to communicate to that guy, and then the guy who's meant to be in the blocking car hears gunshots and leaves the very post that it would be helpful that he had stayed at to come see what's going on, and meanwhile the guy's got away. The confusion because of the absolute impossibility of great communication was very frustrating to them. As you saw, like the wiretapping was a new thing, a revelation to them, incredibly helpful. But ultimately, it came down to somebody having to rat Dillinger out before they could get him. And also came down to the far more advanced network of Nitty. And once Dillinger threatened to disrupt his business, which Dillinger was just small fry compared to what he was doing, then Nitty allowed the Bureau to get Dillinger, you know? But not until that happened were they able to. But, you know, at the time, the Thompson submachine gun, that was pretty state-of-the-art, you know? And some of the cars that they were driving around, and this was all new. This is what allowed the likes of Dillinger and his kind to do what they did for those few years.
Johnny Depp is a unique actor in Hollywood, and the younger generation of actors often mention their admiration towards him. If you could share your experience with us, how was it was like to work with him? Did you find anything new about him?
I can't comment on finding something new about him because I know very little about him in the first place. Which I think is always a benefit, you know, with any actor. I agree very much. He's very unique, you know. He does his own thing and makes very interesting choices and makes a real variety of movies, and I find that interesting. I think that, naturally he found Dillinger to be a fascinating character, and I think he did a superb job with it. The nature of the way that we worked together was very similar to the nature of the story. You know, Purvis, only that one time actually caught up with him. Well, pretty much I only caught up with Johnny that one time. If I was working, he wasn't. But I quite like that, I have to admit. I quite like it when you're working with people and you only get to know them through the scenes that you're doing together.
Hi there. When you play a real-life character, there's a whole wealth of background information you can really dig into. But when you're playing a fictional character, do you compensate for it by writing your own background, or do you just go out of the blue? How do you?
I tend to do the first thing more. Because I always like to have the possibility of details are everything, you know. And if you haven't created some kind of a backstory, it may sound nonsensical or ridiculous to a lot of people. But if you haven't created that, then I feel like you can tell. And much like if you see a movie and there's some bad set design, where everything looks right, but it just feels wrong. And it's because you know that if the camera was just a pan a few inches, you'd be off the set and there's guys standing there eating sandwiches or something, you know. You can sort of feel that, you know, in a movie. And I think you feel that in a performance as well, you know. If they only know exactly what you're being told in that scene, there's something very unrealistic about it. And so I think it's always good to keep that in mind.
Dillinger and Purvis lived in a time of the Great Depression where, you know, Dillinger, somebody like Dillinger became almost a national hero because people didn't have anything.
Right.
We are in a time of a great recession.
I know. Who's going to be the Dillinger of today? I mean, absolutely. There's for some bright spark. There's an opportunity here to be that. You know,
banks don't have money anymore.
Really?
No.
Didn't we just give them a lot?
But you know, like we're joking, but these are hard times for a lot of people.
Yeah.
How is Hollywood affected by the recession? And maybe you, as a Hollywood star, you know, in what ways do you feel it?
Absolutely everything has been affected, and so many people, friends of mine, who there's no work whatsoever for them. You know, so yeah, it's tough times, following on the heels of the strikes, etc. You know, it's been very, very tough. I've been fortunate that I've continued to work throughout, but many people have just not been so fortunate. I think, you know, I mean, it affects movies as well as any other industry. What I often hear, though, is people say, hey, movies and liquor will always do well, you know, throughout the hard times, because it's the cheapest form of entertainment, and and liquor is a great comfort, you know, to many. But as in terms of box office and things like that, I never look at that. I have no idea if that's being reflected in box office numbers of movies and whether people are still going to see movies or not. I just don't know.
I'm having a little burn on this thing on my question. I was curious, Chris is working on Inception, and I'm sent by my editor, and I have to ask, is there been any talk to you guys, you know, the Batman question?
I really cannot tell you if there will ever be another Batman movie right now. You know, Chris is obviously done an incredible job with it, but he's devoted to, you know, the movie he's on right now, and I'm none the wiser about whether we'll ever be revisiting Gotham or not.
And if I could do a follow-up on Fighter, a lot of people, myself included, don't know that much about it. Is there any way you could talk a little bit about what the film is about?
It's a true story of two incredibly gifted boxers who are half brothers. The one, Dickie Eklund, who fought Sugar Ray Leonard at a very young age when he was 21. Incredible natural talent, and lived a very hard living life. Then came to train his brother, Irish Mickey Ward, to the world title.
And you don't mind, you're known for your training process, and you are really in shape right now. Could you talk about what you do to prepare for a role like that?
Box. There's nothing like boxing for getting you in shape.
Is it like multi hours a day?
Yes, yeah, and a wonderful thing when your trainer is actually the person who you're playing.
That's awesome. Mm. Thank you.
Have you boxed before, or?
I never boxed before. No.
Hi, I'm a fan of a little known film called Metroland, and I was wondering if you have any plans to move back into smaller independent art films.
I have no plans beyond what I'm doing on The Fighter. I can tell you, we're trying to scrape every penny we can together on that one. My interest in a project never has anything to do with the budget where the money's coming from, whether it's studio or independent. I just care about the story and the possibilities of who I'm going to be working with and what that experience will be like. So absolutely, yes. I have no plans, but of course it's going to happen.
Anybody else?
I'm gonna Steve. He knows me. I ask questions. Come on. I wanted to go back to the HD question. Have you seen this film projected HD? And is it weird for you because everything's exposed, the pores, wrinkles?
Right.
How is that for you? And you also with? And I have a follow-up.
I have no problem with that. You know, and I don't. I don't know the treatment that it went through before this movie, but I think it looks remarkable. It captures the richness of the time, but also makes it feel so relevant as well.
Well, you recently did IMAX with Dark Knight, which was breathtaking. 3D seems to be a revolution through the whole industry, and now Michael Mann's showing with HD. What's your thoughts on 3D in Hollywood and? Is that something that you're interested in acting in a film in?
I don't know. I don't know enough about it. I don't even have TiVo.
Okay.
I don't have caller ID. You know what I mean? I use a pen and paper. I'm not the person to ask.
Did you see yourself in IMAX though? What was your experience?
Oh, remarkable. Yeah. No, that was phenomenal. You know, I don't know that it's appropriate for every movie, but for that movie, it certainly was. And I did tell any friends who hadn't seen it in IMAX, it really was well worth it, you know. And I suppose not in my household, but in most people's households, they have such advanced technology for watching movies nowadays, then they have to ask themselves, why bother, unless they enjoy the communal, spirit. Of a movie theater, which I do. But in terms of technology, there's such great technology in everybody's homes nowadays. Again, I'm not the guy to ask, but I would think, that's why the sudden obsession with 3D and IMAX and needing to provide something greater that people cannot witness in their own homes. That's my two cents.
I appreciate it.
Bye. Melvin Purvis finally got John Dillinger in the end, and that was his long-time purpose of living. And then after that, we learned that he killed himself a year after that, and he looked like
future. He quit the Bureau a year after that. He killed himself many years later, not until 1960. No, he led a very... he became a colonel in the Army. He interrogated Goering at Nuremberg. He led an investigation into misconduct by Patton. He owned radio stations. He owned newspapers. He was meant to become a judge, but Hoover got in there and made sure that didn't happen. He led a very colorful life long after leaving the Bureau.
And why he killed himself?
I can really only speculate. There is some... there is an idea that it could have been an accident. Unlikely with somebody who is so adept with weapons. Mm-hmm. But there is a notion that possibly there was a round left in the chamber when he was cleaning the gun. Mm-hmm. A little tricky to believe that with somebody who was so good and experienced with weapons. He had suffered from depression. He had been, it did to his dying day, confuse him and trouble him about Hoover's vendetta against him. It was quite extraordinary the lengths to which the man pursued and tried to make Purvis's life a misery. But he's a complex man like everybody is, and it would be wrong of me to truly say that I know the reasons.
All right, that's about it.
Thank you very much.
So no update on Terminator then? Doing another one?
No, really no conversation's been had about that at all.
Christian, do you still go to movies or do you have a hard time trying to?
You gotta go, guys.
No, it's just on the...